DW Africa Link.
The African Growth and Opportunity Act, AGOA, officially expired on September 30, 2025, after 25 years of providing duty-free access to the US market for eligible sub-Saharan African countries. Although there were efforts in the U.S. Congress to renew or extend the program, including proposals for a clean 16-year reauthorization, they were not passed before the deadline. As a result, many African exporters are now facing steep tariffs, and industries built around AGOA, such as textiles and apparel, are at risk of collapse in countries like Kenya, Lesotho, and Ghana.
For all those years, this has been my bread and butter. I only depend on this job. So if it is gone, it means my life is gone too.
When I came here, I was a girl. Now I'm a mother of three kids, educating them in this company. Now, as this company gets closed, I don't know where I will start, where I will get a job to continue educating my kids.
Clearly, if AGOA goes away, we have zero chance to compete with the Asian countries. There's no way we can survive. I'm very convinced, as a sector chair and as a own businessman, it is not going to be a survival for us. The whole house of cards will collapse very quickly.
AGOA was also based on factors like economy and human rights record. Trump's administration doesn't seem to care about your economic status as a country or human rights situation in the country. So it's really about just aligning to American interest. And if it doesn't fit, think of new markets. So African countries, including Kenya, must be alive to the possibility that AGOA won't be extended, AGOA won't be remodified.
That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Today, we are looking at a trade deal that shaped Africa's economic ties with the US for 25 years and has now expired. The African Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA, ended on September 30, 2025, leaving many African economies facing uncertainty. AGOA allowed over 30 countries to export thousands of products duty-free to the U.S. from garments and cars to cocoa and coffee. Kenya, Lesotho, Ethiopia, and Madagascar built entire industries around it. In 2024, Kenya exported over 510 million in apparel alone. Lesotho relied on AGOA for nearly 40% of its manufacturing jobs. But it wasn't just clothing. South Africa used AGOA to export automobiles and carpets. Thousands of jobs across Africa are now at risk. But with no extension in sight, tariffs are back and businesses are bracing for impact. What does this mean for African workers? And is the continent ready for life after AGOA? Joining me for a deeper discussion on this is DW correspondent in South Africa, Tuso Kumalo, and Professor Bonke Dumisa, an economist.
I will start with you, Tuso, for you to just give our listeners, also as a correspondent in South Africa, you know, just an overview and what has been the immediate reaction among businesses and workers in the country to the expiry of AGOA.
There's great concern across the board. I mean, for workers in the first place, they are likely to lose their jobs. We know that there is quite a lot in the agricultural sector, businesses that have been exporting to the US. You've got the motor industry, where a lot of workers have been depending on this for their jobs. And of course, for the economy also, it's a knock, because South Africa currently, the economic situation is not good. So the country cannot afford to lose any job. So there have been concerns with industry, concerned with economies, and concerns, of course, with the government, especially that even the negotiations on tariffs are still going on, have not been solved. And that diminishes any hope that AGOA could be extended, because you discover that most of the overall umbrella tariffs that were given by the US, they don't mention those special categories in the AGOA. So everyone stands there to say we are losing this, and once that is lost, it's a loss to the economy and it's a loss of jobs.
Right. Now, Professor, as an economist, I mean, AGOA has been credited with creating around 1.3 million jobs across the continent. What does its expiration mean in real terms for workers and industries?
Well, I want to look at this thing from two angles. And yes, TUSO has been able to give the big picture, but let me give even a bigger picture. The AGOA, the Opportunities and Growth Act, it was never ever meant to be a charity case where African countries would simply be begging for the charity of the US government. It was to say, we as America have outpriced ourselves from the global markets, we are too expensive. So as what is happening in the chip sector, where Americans develop those chips, but those chips are actually produced in the Far East. So the same thing as with the cars, which included some famous brand names from America, including Ford, and including some German top names like BMW and VW and Mercedes-Benz. Produce them in your countries, sell them to us in America, because Americans love this brand names and these products, and they will sell at a very affordable price, and they will keep on buying them. And that is what was happening. So a new president who was coming back to power for the second time just thought America is doing favors to Africa, and then it disappeared without even a warning, because by the time the 30th of September happened, when AGOA formally expired, we're no longer using AGOA. But what is happening globally, the Trump administration is realizing that instead of benefiting from all these, what he called the reciprocal tariffs, they are not. In fact, America is losing. Yes, AGOA will never come back, but they will find a way to actually resuscitate this whole thing. Because, yes, with the cars, it's taking long to find a way out. But when it comes to fruits and vegetables, South Africa is still selling as much of those fruits and vegetables to the United States as they did during AGOA. So let us not really throw the towel and say we have lost this one. So I'm not even going to start talking a lot about the jobs being lost because of this. Okay, we know Goodyear is out now, and many of the motor car assemblies in the Eastern Cape are complaining, and they think they are going to close factories, but I don't think it will reach that stage. And what this has done, it has actually given South Africa the opportunity to start assessing some other markets that we have not been assessing, because we were comfortable with selling things in the United States without those very high tariffs.
Yeah, but Professor, I'm just wondering, you mentioned the auto sector, but you know that South Africa's auto sector relies heavily on AGOA, or rather relied heavily on AGOA. So let's talk about the vulnerability right now that the tariffs are back in play.
I am not saying jobs are not going to be lost, but I'm saying the extent to which we are going to lose jobs is not as high as others do think. So I'm saying let us just be cool. We are not going to lose as much jobs. And that's why you've had an American company, Ford company, saying they may retrench over 400 people, but they have not finalized that thing. The same thing as with the German car companies in the Eastern Cape, VW and Mercedes-Benz. and BMW there in Silverton in Pretoria. Yes, jobs will be lost, but not as much as what happened in Lesotho. You remember when the Trump administration immediately stopped any support for economic development in Lesotho? It was not AGOA, but they did withdraw their support, and thousands of Basotho, especially women, lost their jobs. I don't think that is going to be the case in South Africa as it is.
Now, Tuso, just to ask you if you want to add something on that as well, as you're doing your reports, have you seen any job cuts or plant closures yet, similar to what's already been happening in Kenya?
Definitely quite a number of jobs, like our expert mentioned there. I mean, you have the automobile sector closing some of the companies, and of course people remaining jobless. Also in the agricultural sector, the advantage of the agricultural sector is that they've got different options that already the minister there, the Minister of Agriculture, has opened in other places, in other countries where South Africa, where the farmers were not exporting to before. But I think the same cannot be said with the automobile sector. It's difficult, like our experts say, to establish a new market, to have all the agreements in place. So some of those things are already, we are already seeing the jobs that are being cut. We're already seeing the economy in that sector shrinking because of that. But obviously, the government was almost expecting this to happen. So there have been measures that have been taken, because from the way the relations between America and South Africa soured, from the way the tariffs negotiations were being made, the government has some kind of indication that this could happen. So at least there is a plan. If you listen to the Department of Trade Minister, there's a plan to try and find alternative markets, although they're still pursuing negotiations with the US. But there's more shift now to try and trade more with Africa, trade more with Asia, and other parts where the companies can replace whatever orders that they were sending to the
I'm happy
US.
to agree with Tuso on this one. There's something which we have not thrown into this whole thing. Do you know that most of the BMWs and Mercedes-Benz cars that people drive in Australia and New Zealand are actually made in South Africa? That is one other option that South Africa will actually capitalize on and increase on the numbers supplied there. So what we are simply saying is the tariff wars approach by the Trump administration, yes, it is going to cause some damage, but not as much as what the Trump administration thought. And it is precisely because of those things. I don't want to get into the other politics, but it is against that background that as we are worrying about AGOA here because it expired on the 30th of September. Do you know that the South African rand against the US dollar has been at strongest in the year 2025? Despite all these things, I mean, yesterday it opened at 17 rand 7, 17, 1717. When you look at what was happening in 2024, it was around the 18 rands and 19 rand levels. That tells you something then that it is not just a question of using force to force other countries to support what you are doing, but you need to be very tactical. And South Africa is being very tactical on this thing. And that's why they're not saying much. But look at what is happening. Our market indicators are actually good.
Interesting, Professor. It's just that, good for South Africa, but what about the rest of Africa? Because critics are actually saying AGOA kept Africa dependent on raw material and low value exports. So my question would be, was it ever truly transformative, or was it just another one-sided trade deal?
Yes, when we look broadly across Africa, I must say there may be problems in other countries, but I don't think, in fact, America was not buying a lot of those other things. They were just buying those raw materials, and the raw materials have been excluded from many of these tariffs because it selfishly serves America good. And I mean, let's look at the price of the of the gold price, even though it was indicating that we have the global jitters because of all these things. But I have a problem with some African countries, I'm not going to mention one particular one, which has literally said that they are reserving all their mineral resources for America. That is not strategic and it is not pro-Africa.
Let me just turn to you too, so before I come back to Professor here, how are unions and civil society groups responding to protect workers whose livelihoods are tied?
Course, for those jobs that are lost, they want the government to come up with a plan to try and at least cushion those workers who are going to lose their jobs. Remember, already we are talking at the time when the economy is not performing very well, and of course, the fiscals cannot have so much to spare. But for the workers, they look at the government to say, okay, these are some of the things that you knew, there were indications they would happen, so we need a plan. So mostly, we haven't seen any other stopgap measure coming from the unions, except to say the government at least should make sure that these jobs that are lost, the workers are either reskilled or shifted to other areas. And of course, the emphasis now is on finding new markets. We know that in the agreements of finding new markets, the government has to play a bigger role, because there are agreements that are signed, there are certain protocols that should be observed, there are certain requirements that each country requires. So they want the government to speed up that process, so that before it's too late, at least some of these products are able to be placed in other countries, and that will save the jobs.
Right. And but on the ground too, so do people feel Washington has abandoned Africa, or is there still hope for some form of renewed engagement?
Oh yes, a lot of people feel it's pointless to talk to America. I mean, you talk to a lot of people when you are interviewed, when we interview them, they'll tell you there's nothing that South Africa can do to convince President Trump about reviving the relations with South Africa, having a fair trade with South Africa. We know President Ramaphosa has said even the tariffs, the way that they were calculated, they were not based on the reality on the ground in terms of the standards that America used and South Africa was using to calculate the current trade that was there. So for many people here, they are saying South Africa should be trading more with Africa and forgetting about America. Of course, it's a difficult thing because you know America is our second trade, biggest trading partner. But for ordinary South Africans here, they see a relationship that cannot be retrieved. I mean, looking at how the president and his delegation were treated at the Oval Office, looking at the negotiations that have been happening, as far as getting up an agreement about lower tariffs, and of course all the other political things about what America has said in suspending aid for South Africa, the issue that has come up, of course, about the Afrikaners that have been given refugee status in South Africa. So with a lot of South Africans here, it seems the government is trying to beat up a dead horse, and to them, nothing will happen except if the government looks somewhere else for its products.
All right. Now, Professor Dumisa, oh, you want to add something?
No. I was laughing at what Umtungo, what Thuso Khumalo has said about the dead horse, and we all know the story of the dead horse. If you just try the dead horse thing, you'll be wasting your time, and it is true. There's no need really to waste our time, really spend a lot of time on what President Donald Trump is doing worldwide. But globally, it is being proved day by day that those that's economics of the past. You know, tariff wars don't work. No one wins at the tariff wars in the same way as no one wins when you've got price wars in the retail sector. No one wins that one. So let us not really worry. Let's move on and grow the African trade. Unfortunately, we have the African trade agreement, but African countries are not really spending a lot of time on making it work as it is now today. If you go to certain African countries, you still have to go via Dubai or via the Netherlands or via London. That must stop. Let us really maximize our trade with fellow African countries.
But there are still some African governments, I'm so sure, that would feel they still need to deal with President Donald Trump, Professor Dumisa. So what leverage, if any, do these African governments have to negotiate maybe better terms with Washington in any post-AGOA framework?
We have to show them that there is a way around that one. Remember when President Donald Trump was referring to Lesotho, he said, "Where is this country? No one knows about it." And yet, at the same time, his left-hand man at that time, Elon Musk, was busy negotiating a satellite license in Lesotho. As soon as he got that satellite license in Lesotho, all those 100% tariffs on Lesotho were dropped. So we have to show the African continent that we can do set many things successfully without being at the mercy of the American government.
And could China, Professor, or maybe the EU, in your opinion, step in to fill the gap left by AGOA? Or is the US market uniquely important for African exporters, in your opinion?
In fact, China has already stepped into the platform. If you come to South Africa as it is now, when you look at the new cars that people are driving, it's not the cars that they've been driving in the past 4 years and before. Things are changing, and the Chinese are taking an advantage of this gap.
Right. Now, Professor, if you had to sum it up, I mean, this discussion, what's the single biggest lesson African economies rather, should take from AGOA's rise and fall?
One thing which you must learn from this AGOA thing and all these other charity things that America said they were trying to do to help Africa is there is no free lunch in this world. So this tells us then that we cannot rely on other countries who say they are doing us a favor, because they are not doing us a favor. They are just trying to make us suit their strategies at certain times, and they'll dump us as quickly as they can. So let us learn to be on our own. If we do things on our own, we will not be at the mercy of any other country. Let me just quickly comment on what Tuso has said about the criminals which have been sent to Eswatini. That is actually worrying. With this fascination and obsession of America about trying to keep the racial issues very divisive in South Africa, I am worried then that those people who are being sent to Eswatini may be turned into something else in the near future, and we hope I am wrong.
Right. Now, too, so also as we wrap up our discussion, if there's one moment or quote that captures the feeling in South Africa right now, what would it be?
The feelings of loss of hope, especially when it comes to jobs. I mean, a lot of people, though this was expected, but they are saying they want to see more from the government to save the jobs, to save the economy. And of course, the feeling also is please look elsewhere beside looking at the United States.
DW correspondent in South Africa, Tuso Khumalo, and Professor Bonke Dumisa in economics, many thanks for joining us. Leaders like Kenya and President William Ruto have pleaded for renewal, calling AGOA a fundamental platform linking Africa to the US. But African leaders are hedging bets, seeking bilateral deals while bracing for the worst. Here is Kenya's president speaking about why Africa remains key to the US market.
For the US to consider seriously renewing and extending AGOA for at least a minimum of 5 years, because it is a platform that connects Africa and the US in a very fundamental way. And it can go a long way in solving some of the trade deficits and challenges that exist at the moment, especially in the context of where the world is going. We believe that AGOA gives both Africa and the US a best chance to expand and deepen trade between the United States and Africa.
Meanwhile, African countries are looking inward toward the African Continental Free Trade Area and outward to China, the EU, and India for trade partnerships. AGOA may be gone, but the need for fair and inclusive trade remains. And for many African exporters, the next chapter is already being written. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.